welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. Yeah, stand up. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look good today. All right, turn to the other neighbor you ignored and say, second choice. You also look good. Turn around, high five a few people. Do a good high five, high as you can, the highest, armpits out, all of it, hands in the air. There it is, I'm seeing it. Good, 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 good. Feels good in the house this morning, amen? Now, all of you that high-fived, you proved to me you can raise your hands this morning. And so we're going to be able to worship our King of Kings. How does that sound? We're here for an incredible service. We're here to honor our pastor and Sister Meyer. But we're here to have a good time in the Lord on this Sunday morning. God is going to bless you today. And what we're going to do is move into worship. And we're just going to begin to lift up praises, because Scripture says everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. And so today we all qualify to lift our hands. We all qualify to clap our hands. We all qualify to lift up our voices. And so right now as a church body, can we just begin to glorify our King of Kings? Father, thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for moving throughout this place. In Jesus' name, you are good. Hallelujah.
Because you're holy, holy, holy. from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. Oh, my days, I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. So my love, you have been faithful. Yes, you have. And all my life, Lord, you've been so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Led me through the fire, my darkest night. You were closing another. I've known you as a brother. I've known you as a friend. I believe in the goodness of God.
This morning, and we are going to continue to move throughout this beautiful presence that we have in the house of God. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for being with us every single day, that your goodness and your mercy follows us all of the days of our life. And God, I pray that we give unto you what is our reasonable service, but God, we give unto you sacrificially of our mind, of our energy, of our finances, that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And God, I pray that you bless what is given, that you bless the giver, and anoint the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm never gonna look back.
I can't believe that some of y'all have requested that you want to hear this 100-year-old song by somebody that's almost 100 years old. This is your Never Gonna Look Back song. Okay, y'all hit it.
I'm never gonna look back. I made up my mind. I've got too much invested to lose my time.
Jesus found me, and he beckoned to me, and when I took his hand, all those chains fell off of me. There's always been two roads to travel since the first of time. One road is paved, the other road is gravel. That gravel road is mine. But when you walk with Jesus, you don't care about looking back. Who cares about a highway?
I'm never gonna look.
roads to travel since the first of time. One road is paved, the other road is gravel. That gravel road is mine. But when you walk with Jesus, you don't care about looking back. Who cares about a highway if you're on the right track?
Turn. thank you all for coming today. Before I begin, this is mostly between what I'm going to say about Brother Meyer, my walk with him and God. But I don't want to leave out Sister Meyer because, you know, when I was 18 years old and trying to play guitar up here or in there, it's kind of funny because I was actually going to write something about the way you look at us whenever you like something, or if you don't. And when you just looked at me and, you know, gave me the thumbs up, I mean, that just, I'm going to miss that. But thank you guys for coming. I want everybody to really pay attention to this because I don't give a testimony very often. So let this soak in because it's real. So thank you for coming today to honor Brother and Sister Meyer, a couple that has given their lives to serving God, serving the people of our church, and serving the people of our community. In 43 years, Brother Meyer has seen so many of us through every stage of our life. He celebrated the good times with us, and he has comforted us when our lives have been shattered. For over 40 years, I have witnessed the testimony of Brother Meyer's life. I was thinking, what can I possibly say about Brother Meyer that hasn't already been said by every great leader in the Pentecostal movement? So the best way to honor him is to tell you about me, my walk with God, and about my observation of Brother Meyer over the years and how his leadership has impacted my life. You see, our family tree is a tree of generations of Catholic. We're all Catholic. My Aunt Luann was the first to find her way into a Pentecostal church. All my other family thought she was nuts because she became different. She looked different and acted different. She couldn't stop talking about these Pentecostals and their message to my mom. Several years later, one day my aunt contacted Brother Meyer to let him know we were moving to Paris, Texas from Wisconsin. We didn't know anybody here. We were led here by one t-shirt that read Paris, Texas in a Wisconsin Kmart store. That's for real. Which really was by God, because he was aware of my mom searching for him. If you have been here long enough, you have heard Brother Meyer speak about giving my family a Bible study 2 days after we moved to Paris from Wisconsin. And he showed up with ice cream and soda. I knew right then he was a good guy. He immediately took our family in and made us feel welcome. A few weeks after I moved here from Wisconsin, Brother Meyer asked me if I could help him do a repair on an old house. While driving to that job at the red light intersection on the loop, where the Brahms is now, I asked Brother Meyer, why are some people in the church so poor when others who don't go to church have so much? And if you know Brother Meyer very well, he doesn't always give you an answer. He gives you a scripture to read. And at that point, that would be the first time Brother Meyer knew I was a deep thinker at 18 years old. That was the very first time he said, go read a scripture, basically training me to use scripture to lead me through life, knowing one day he wouldn't be here. I now know what an important teaching moment that was. On another Sunday night service, just right after we moved here, Brother Meyer was teaching how to pray. And he said, when you pray, be specific in your prayer. So I went home and thought about it. You got to understand, I just moved here from a Catholic church where they sit. So when I met Brother Meyer and I heard people talking in tongues, I was like, wow, there's something here. So I went home and thought about it. And I tell you the truth, the next church service, I went to the altar and prayed, not for a job. I mean, I gave this some thought. I prayed for residual income. All right? Pray for something good. I wanted to do something that would make me money in my family forever. Let that soak in. I was so new in the church that I believed what Brother Meyer said. So I prayed specifically and didn't doubt it would happen. And it did happen. We own billboards in 2 states and properties in 3 states. And they provide income forever and ever. If you still think that's not an answered prayer, many, many years later, as confirmation that God truly answers prayer, I was holding the Bible one day. Literally, I was going through the house. I just grabbed it and said, "Show me something. Show me something for me." And I opened the Bible, slid my finger through it, closed my eyes and, did that thing. And it stopped on Habakkuk 2:2. And that is, write my message on a tablet and make it plain for others to read it. Back then, a tablet was a side of a hill or a rock or a mountain. They engraved, they didn't have pens. So think about that. Who else in here would that message be for? Write your message. I own billboards. He was literally telling me. So God is listening to all of us and knows all. And I have no doubt that he is listening right now. I could write a book about so many things that impacted my life. And all that understanding started when I met Brother Meyer. He filled in the missing pieces to a puzzle that I questioned since I was 10. Brother Meyer has been my greatest spiritual mentor in life. And if he wasn't yours, he should have been. You missed out on a wealth of biblical knowledge that would have kept you in line. It would have kept the wrong spirits from whispering in your ear. It would not have slowed down your progress with God, but would have prepared you for every season of your life and ultimately death. I don't think about it. I know Brother Meyer is a man of God. Confirmation of that. His teachings have been proven in my own life. No one can convince me otherwise. In ending, I and all my Texas family relation would not be where we are today without Brother Meyer teaching us Acts 2:38 and baptizing us 40 years ago. You must grasp the thought that we would not have had a chance for heaven. So thank you to my Aunt Luann, and thank you to Brother Meyer for answering that call that changed everything. Thank you.
I was honored when they asked me to speak about Sister Meyer today. It's not hard to talk about somebody that you love and you admire and you have for 42 years. That's not hard. The hard part is trying to squeeze 42 years of memories in a 5-minute speech. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to try. I was 25 when the Meyers came to Parish UPC. Now, if you're trying to do the math, I'm 67. I'll just go ahead and tell you up front. But I was 25, and I had a 3-year-old, and they came. And I was so excited. She came in, and she was this beautiful blonde with a big smile, and she had lots of ideas, and she was excited, and we loved the way she talked because we're all country hicks. And we loved to hear her talk, and it was just great. And she just came in, and she hit the ground running, and she began to teach us different things. Not that we didn't do things. We did do things, and we did the best we knew how, but she came in and she taught us. She raised it to a new level. You know what I'm saying? So we began to work. We knew that the Word of God, the ministry that come across this pulpit was the most important thing. We knew that. But then after that, there's many other ministries in the body of Christ, many areas that have to be, you know, done. You have to do that. So she began to work with us, and we did the ladies' meetings. We loved those. Those were so fun. We would decorate. She would teach us how to decorate and how to speak and how to do all this stuff. I mean, she could take something really pitiful and make it look beautiful. That's the truth. She really could. She really could. It was just amazing to me how she taught us, and we began to work on the different ministries. So also about the care group, she invented that. See, I didn't even know that. But I knew that it was wonderful because we had a big church, and how was we going to attend to everybody and take care of everybody? We broke it down into groups, and then everybody had a care group leader, and then the job got done. So I want to tell you right here, I'll just start by, she's a master teacher, she really is. A good teacher will teach a lesson or a concept, and then she will model it. She will give you an example, she will model it. Then she will let you work independently trying to figure it out, and she'll be there if you need help. This is pretty much what she did when she taught us everything. She would model it, she would tell us, she would model it, and then we would do it. But things begin to develop, and it just all worked so beautifully. Our bereavement ministry, of course, you know, I felt like we always give some people some food when they had somebody pass away, but she just took it to a new level. You know, she made it beautiful, she organized it. That's another thing, she's an organization queen. Would you come to my house today after this service? She could organize anything. She really could. But she just really took it to a different level. And she came in and she wore many hats, figuratively and literally. Now, I would hate myself if I didn't stop right here and say, she's the cutest thing in a hat I've ever seen in my life. Now, some of us look like Minnie Pearl going to a Halloween party. And when I say us, I mean me. But she was so beautiful in a hat. So, I ventured out. I wore a hat a few times. I thought, I'm going to do this. It wasn't the same. But she wore many hats. She was a Sunday school teacher. She was a musician. She's a singer. She was a praise leader. You know, when Brother Jim decided to go home, she stepped up and she took that because that's what she did. When there was a need, Sister Meyer stepped up. She just always did. It didn't matter whether she could do it or not. She'd just do it. That was always so impressive to me, and it really impacted my life the way she did that. But we were on this platform for 40 years together, okay? 40 years. So you can even imagine the things that happened up here. So I do have a couple little stories that I need to tell, sis. You know I have to tell it. Okay. So we're up here, and the Spirit's moving, the Holy Ghost is moving, and boy, sometimes we just had to be, you know, we just had to know because it would change, and, you know, it might start out slow, and then it'd end up fast, and we were searching, you know, and she just said, she jumped up on that organ bench, and she said, Denise, sing that bird song. I'm like, what? Figured out she meant his eyes on the sparrow. I said, because this is how we were. This was the kind of relationship we had. I said, okay, I'm going to sing it this time. But would you let me feel after the Spirit every once in a while? She said, yeah, but not tonight. So I went ahead and I sang that song. But we did. We had many, many funny things. And then she was the praise leader. And this was another thing, Sister Mary. I don't know if I ever said this to you, but it was so funny. Because she was a teacher. She had these teacher tricks up her sleeve. We would come in to practice, and we want to sing. Oh, we want to sing, blah, blah. We want to sing. Here's what you say.
Okay, guys, I have two songs here. Y'all pick which one you want to sing.
Now, this meant that she had already picked out two songs. Y'all, it took me years to figure that out. And I finally figured out she's already got them songs picked out. But she was always on top of it. So many things. Teacher, musician, singer, praise leader. My goodness, she's just so multi-talented. I mean, really. Another thing, I just want to talk a minute about the Easter dramas. Because, you know, this was a big deal. Our Easter dramas. How many years did we do that? 4 years? I don't know. Several years we did Easter dramas. And now, she would write the narratives. You know, I mean, I know she didn't create baby Jesus being born. And or him dying on the cross, but she did put it together, the dialogues together, you know. So she did that. She signed all the parts. We did it. We practiced. I mean, it was wonderful. It really was. It was a great outreach. She did a wonderful job on it. But I was going to tell you about one particular time. I think it was the Easter drama. We were having this horrible virus come blowing through the church, and the cast of the drama, a lot of them got sick. You remember this? Got really sick. Well, she got it too, about 3 days before the drama. So we show up that night for the drama, and for some reason I was assisting her. I don't know what in the world got into me on that. But I was assisting her, and she says, "Now look, Denise," she was sick. She said, "Denise, I'm not feeling great tonight." She was pale. She was sick. She said, "I'm not feeling great tonight." She said, "But now listen, if I get sick and I have to leave, you're going to have to narrate this drama. I want y'all to know I never prayed for somebody as hard in my life. I sat there. I pled the blood of Jesus. I have never prayed that hard, but she did make it through. Thank God she made it through. I thought, Lord, I'm going to sound like a country hick reading this narration." But she made it through. Just so many things. It's just so many. We cannot capture it all in this little short amount of time. How multi-talented she was. And not even counting, I mean, just what she did with us. All of the positions she held in our district. I mean, she was president of both districts, I think, at one point, and serving on the board of Tupelo's Children's Mansion. Just so many things, because she has a heart for giving and for loving people. Sister Meyer, we the ladies of Parish United Pentecostal Church, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all the love and all the excellence that you have poured into us, into our church. We promise to honor you by honoring Sister Jenna. That's the best way that we can show you that we want to honor you, because I know that's what you would want. You truly have made a huge difference in our lives. Happy retirement, I hope you said, and put your feet up and have a good cold Dr. Pepper, because I know you love them. And just know, when you think of us, we know that you left us better than you found us. And we thank you for all that you've done. We love you.
Y'all give it up one more time for Niecy, would you? I hadn't even got to hug her yet. I'm going to start just like this. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Come on, make some noise this morning if you serve a God that doesn't separate from you. Now listen, I grew up in this church, so I get to take the mic off of the pulpit, and I'll just preach for a minute, if that's all right. Is that all right, Pastor? That scripture right there, I learned at 12 years old in that junior high classroom right behind that sound booth, like many of you did as well. And listen, Sister Meyer had a burden for a junior high classroom, and I'm going to tell you something. You better have a burden for my junior high class, because there was a bunch of knuckleheads in that class, and I'm the chief of knuckleheads, so believe me, I can tell it. But Buddy Laudermilk, knucklehead. Sister Mary, Josh Formby, knucklehead. I'm sorry to tell you, but just some knuckleheads in that class. Jamie Seaton, knucklehead, all right? So it was just a bunch of knuckleheads in there, but she realized we needed to learn the scripture, and so we learned the scripture, and we got up and we memorized that scripture, and along with several other scriptures that we learned there, and it was just powerful. And I can still, 25 years later, quote that scripture, and it's, man, I love it. And I guarantee you that Sister Donnie, you could call Hope and she'd be able to quote it. And I just, that right there is, there's something. Whenever Sister Meyer began to teach us that, she realized that hiding the word in your heart, that you might not sin against him, that was an important thing to do for young people. And sometime between that junior high classroom and today, I took a risk. And I knew that her closest people to her called her Dondi. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this out. Like trying on a new jacket. I'm like, you know what? Let's see how this works. So I don't remember the day or where we were, but I walked up and I just called her Dondi. And she didn't immediately rebuke me, so I guess it was all right. And so I tried it again a few days later, and before you know it, that's what I was calling her. And it was sometime shortly after that we took this picture. And that's one of my favorite pictures of us. It's big smiles, and we were happy, and it was a spontaneous moment. We took that picture, and I remember whenever we took that picture, her immediate reaction was, send me that. So I was like, well, evidently she liked that, so we took another picture. And I'm like, all right, this seems to be working out. So we took another picture, and another picture, and another, and another, and another, and well, you get it. You get it. We were taking pictures together. And so it became the new normal. Every time we got together and saw one another, we took pictures together. And if that doesn't show you how special she is to me, I don't know what else to do for you, because she has meant so much to me. More than these pictures can tell you, she has been impactful to my life and many more lives. And I think one of the most special parts of it is when I led with this and I quoted that scripture and I expressed to you the junior high impact she had on me. I couldn't have known that she was going to walk down there to that group of young people right here and speak into them using verse 2 of that song. I couldn't have known that. But it just shows you the impact and how she prioritizes young people and the future generation. Amen? Okay, yeah, I had to throw one more in there just because I was like, you know what, I got to do something with this picture, and I can't make it small. I had to make it big. So anyway, I wanted to, that's Dondi right there. Give it up for Dondi real quick, can you? Come on. I can't do a better job than Niecy did on Dondi, so I just thought I would show you some pictures. So I got more pictures. Don't worry. There's more coming. But the summer I turned 17, I made a mistake. I got into a little bit of trouble, and the details don't matter. I just told you I was a knucklehead, so it doesn't really matter what I did. But my dad had a idea of a punishment. And then Pastor Meyer had an idea of a punishment. Well, Pastor Meyer's idea of a punishment was that I would work at the church all summer. We should have went with my dad's punishment, right? Because I didn't know what I was getting into that summer. But I worked at the church, and I learned some amazing things. Mostly how to change sheetrock walls, and I learned how to change a yard or a church sign with a long extendable pole with a suction cup on the end. It's really an art that you got to do there. I also learned how to change a parking lot light bulb on an extendable lift. It's called a sky tracker, and it goes up about 30 feet in the air. And then if you're riding on it, it's real fun. He goes up and down and sideways. It's super exciting if you're on that thing. And so I learned a lot that time, but most of what I learned during that time was not taught to me. You know how they say that more is caught than taught? I learned most of everything that I know from him from observation. It was just being in the middle of something and somebody walks up and wants to talk. In that moment, everything drops. Job's done. We're stopping for a minute. There's somebody wants to talk. Because he prioritized people. Pastor Meyer, I've never met a person that cares more about people than he does. And that same summer was the summer I decided, sitting in his office on one of those chairs right across the desk from him, that I decided to go to Texas Bible College. Now, while I didn't learn a lot at Texas Bible College, I did meet my wife at Texas Bible College. Amen. And that was good enough for me. And so I couldn't have known then, though, that a few years later in 2011, I'd end up right back here. And I'd end up getting to have more opportunities to change drywall and change the church sign and get on that sky track again and bounce around. I couldn't have known that. But those right there, those 6 years that I was the youth pastor here, were some of the most impactful years of my life, because I got to spend some one-on-one time with him. I got to ride shotgun in that black Chevy Tahoe that's still parked in that same spot that it's been parked at for as long as he's had Chevy Tahoes. And that sitting shotgun right there, I learned a great deal of things. And I never will forget one time we were sitting right out in the parking lot and he was sharing some deep wisdom with me. And I got my phone out and I started typing on the phone. He's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm just making some notes." He's like, don't make notes. The Lord will bring to remembrance those things as you need them. And so don't be writing this stuff down. Don't do that. And I want to show you real quick. I don't know, Micah, can I get back on the slide? Maybe it's back. Yeah. I took none of his advice, actually. I continued to just take notes, all right? I've got pages of notes that I took from him, and it's chock full of stuff, and it's stuff that I'll cherish forever. I took so many notes, I could probably write a book for him from notes that I took, because he just drops so much wisdom whenever he's talking. And I want to talk about a few lessons that I learned, and I won't be real long because I know we got other people. But I learned that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can talk till you're blue in the face about things you know, but that's going to get you nowhere until they realize that you care about them as an individual. And I know that these three principles right here, that when I take all those notes that I have in my phone, and I mean it's a lot, and I boil it down to three things. These three things. Those three things right there are the things that I take home more than anything. It's love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor, love people, love your world, love the people you do life with, love them well. And then enjoy life. And I guarantee you, you can search high and low, and you're not going to find a person that enjoys life more than that man on the end of that pew right there. You don't spend a lot of time with him and don't laugh. Amen. You're going to laugh. You're going to have fun. He's smiling right now. Some of y'all ain't even smiled since I've been up here. He ain't stopped smiling. But I do have some honorable mentions, okay, of things that I learned from Pastor Meyer, and then I'll get out of here. I learned how to properly stand on a pew while preaching, all right? That's something right there you don't get taught a lot of places, all right? James Martinez knows because he grew up Catholic, all right? They're not standing on pulpits and pews, all right? They're not doing that. So I learned that. And then I learned how to humble a 20-something-year-old at the age of 70-something. And don't ask me how I learned that. Actually, I'll just tell you. I lost 7-0, and I mean 7-0 that day right there, okay? And he wasn't a spring chicken, all right? And I was, and he still let me have it. So anyway, last thing I want to say, Pastor Meyer, Dondi, I love you too so much. Thanks for letting me into your life. Thanks for giving me a chance to be a youth pastor here. Thanks for giving me a chance to call you Dondi and to sit shotgun in that Chevy Tahoe. Memories I'll cherish for the rest of my life. Well done. Congratulations on 42 years. It's an honor. Love you so much.
Giving honor to whom honor is due today. And I'm so thankful for this. And there's a lot that I could say, but I'm going to try to make mine short. We did something special for Pastor and Sister Meyer that they don't know about, I don't think. We created a book, and it's called All of This in Heaven Too. It's full of memories, and whenever you start missing your flock here in Paris, Texas, you can look and see our smiling faces in pictures and the memories of the things that you did while you were here. And we did this just to let you know how much we appreciate you and how very special you are. And the things that I want to say about both of you are already written in this book, and I'm going to read from your book before you ever receive it. I'm going to read the things that I want to say about you, and they're already written. This is a poem that I was asked to write several years ago. It was the 35th pastoral anniversary, and the committee asked me to write a poem. And it was in the middle of tax season, and it was a busy time for me, and my mind was cluttered with other things. And I remember telling my friend Joanne, I said, Joanne, I just don't know that I can. I don't know that my mind is going to be able to focus. And I went to bed that night, and the words started forming in my mind. And I want to read this poem called Shepherd. The shepherd is never far away. He sleeps lightly at night, and he walks among the sheep by day. He looks for the weak and the cast down. He lifts them up with strong arms, and he puts their feet on firm ground. He brings them up to the grassy hill, and when they are nourished, he leads them to water pure and still. He carries with him his staff and his rod, which he uses to guide and protect, and sometimes to prod. If one tiny sheep wanders away, he searches till he finds it and he brings it back to its place. When the flock is invaded by a wolf or a lion, the shepherd fights furiously and says, "No, they are mine." He tenderly anoints their head with oil, soothing their wounds and restoring their soul. There's no want when the shepherd is near. The sheep know his voice, and it calms all their fear. Our shepherd, our pastor, is never far away. He sleeps lightly at night, and he walks among his sheep by day. Pastor, we thank you for leading us, feeding us, and protecting us for all these years. And Sister Meyer doesn't know it, but she has a poem just for her. And this is called First Lady. Classy and beautiful from head to toes, composed with dignity wherever she goes. A lovely example of poise and grace, with shoulders held high and a smile on her face. She grieves when we suffer heartbreaks and pain, and rejoices in our accomplishments and gain. Weddings, funerals, births, and celebrations, her presence brings comfort and gives affirmations. Whether funeral, meal, party, or banquet, the tables are always beautiful and perfect. She carefully makes decor selection, then decorates each table with great perfection. She's a godly example to each and every one, showing us how beautifully life can be done. There is definitely one thing for certain. Our lives are greatly enriched by this exceptional person. Sister Donna Meyer, we love you so very much.
So they may have chose one of the most emotional people to get up here and do this, but I'm going to go for it because I love you guys so much. Okay, for Jim and our family, it started about 28 years ago in the old McDonald's at one of our girls' birthday parties. Brother and Sister Meyer met a young couple who the world still had a solid grasp on. And you loved us unconditionally. You guided us along a journey of a life that had a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but you've never left our side, and you have loved us unconditionally. They've always been there for us. And for this church, it started 42 years ago. We didn't have that luxury to know them all those years, but the 28 years that we have known them have been some of the best years of our lives. God knew that we needed you. And I have watched them for the last 28 years pour themselves into this church, into our community, and into the UPC, our organization. Pastor and First Lady, we love you so very much. And I am here actually to present a gift from our church to you, and it is from Hank's Furniture Company in Arkansas, so that you can buy some furniture for your new house.
Apparently someone knew that I had found a new sofa and a recliner in Jonesboro at Hank's. So whoever knew this, thank you.
Well, today is a moment that words can hardly capture, although I think we've done our best to communicate that today. It is a moment of honor, of gratitude, and of reflection. For over 42 years, Pastor Meyer has faithfully served this congregation and community with unwavering dedication, compassion, leadership, and vision. His life's work here has been more than sermons preached or lessons taught. It has been a legacy built on love, sacrifice, and steadfast commitment to the kingdom of God. In recognition of his extraordinary service and to ensure that generations to come will know the name and the heart behind this ministry, so we are proud to dedicate our Family Life Center in his honor. From this day forward, it will be known as the Robert L. Meyer Family Life Center, a place where families will grow, where faith will be strengthened, and where the spirit of the Pastor Meyer's ministry will continue to live on, not that it hasn't so far. Pastor, as a token of this dedication, we are privileged to present you with this replica plaque, a symbol of the lasting impact you have made, not just within these walls, but within the hearts of all of us. On behalf of the entire church family, thank you, we love you, and we honor you.
Well, thank you all for that honor that you have just bestowed up on my husband, and thank you so much for your nice gift. It has, we have given 42 years of our best years to you all. There have been baby dedications, there have been weddings, baptisms, funerals that we have all shared. So it has been a full 42 years. Also, we've had so many fun times together on trips and in that lovely family center. So I want you to know that it has been an honor to be your pastor's wife for 42 years. And I also wanted to take this time to recognize the fact that we have had a family that have stood behind us for 42 years. So I just want to take a minute to honor some of them. I sure thank you. Kronda and Craig, would you stand? And Kyron and Darren, would you stand? Y'all have supported our ministry here the last 42 years, and I appreciate you always standing behind us. And Darren, the day God sent you to our family, it was a God-sent blessing. And Craig, we love you so much for treating Kronda good all these years. You may be seated. I want to say that Cassidy and Brian, would you stand? They were here with us for 7 years, and their ministry was such a blessing. They taught Sunday school. Brian led preliminaries. Cassidy is an incredible musician and singer. And thank you so much for the seven. Brian was always here. But I mean, after you brought Cassidy here, it was 7 years of ministry here in the church. And thank you so very, very much. You may be seated. Caleb and Abby came here with little baby Paisley. Would y'all stand? They came here and they were our youth pastor for about 2.5 to 3 years, and y'all were such a blessing to our church. Y'all are two of the kindest, nicest people I've ever met in my life, and we thank you for your years of service to the kingdom of God. I might need to mention Chayden. You want to stand, baby? Chayden's our youngest grandchild. He's going to be graduating this year, and he hasn't spent his whole life here in Paris, but he came up and told me, he said, "Dondi, a lot of what I am is because of y'all in this church." And I know that you have a call to the ministry, and you've been evangelizing a lot, and I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you very, very much. Corbin, when we got Darren, we got Corbin, and he was 12, and he has been such a blessing to our family. You know, he's an only child. He could have made our lives miserable, but he never did. He was so happy to be getting two sisters and a brother, and he is incredible. And Corbin lives in Tyler. He is an administrator at UT in Tyler, and he's part of a church there in Tyler. He's the hyphen director. He's in the praise team. We love you, Corbin. May be seated. Where are Callan and Stephen? There's Callan. There's Stephen. Okay. Y'all know that the past 5 years that Stephen and Callan have been the youth pastors here, and they have done an incredible work with our young people. I know that that the youth group that they have going on over there on Wednesday night, we don't always see all of y'all. But I just know it has just been such a blessing that this youth group you have, Stephen, is not just kids that have been raised in this church. I would say that 90% of the children, not children, young people, teenagers, students, that you have in your group are first generation Pentecost. And thank you for your service. And Callan, thank you for your singing and the way you pound on that piano and just really get with it. We love you so very much. You may be seated. And Sterling, where are you? Sterling? We appreciate God's call on Sterling's life. All of you know that he has been a blessing also to the youth group with Stephen and Callan. And he also is an incredible praise and worship leader. Yes, we miss you. Sterling is at Urshan University in St. Louis right now. He will graduate in December. But we miss you, Sterling. You were an incredible praise and worship leader, and I love you and appreciate what the support you have been here in this church all the years. Thank you. And I would like to say to Kylie and Tanner, where are y'all? Okay, there y'all are at the back of the church. That after Kylie went to Urshan University, she came here to be our praise and worship leader. And I don't know how many churches that all of you have visited over the years, but I'm going to tell you that you'll never find a finer praise team anywhere than what Kylie has done. She can teach the parts. She can hear when somebody's a little flat or a little sharp. And I'm telling you that Kylie is an RN. She works a full-time job, but she also runs the music program around here. And since I have run this music program for many years prior to her coming, it is a lot of work. A lot of work. And Tanner, I have never in my life met a finer young man than you. Tanner never gets offended when there's been things happen that I thought, why isn't he offended? You know, Tanner loves people. Tanner loves God. He is one of the kindest people I've ever met in my life. And we love you, Tanner. Have I covered the whole family? Okay. Well, thank you all for your support of our ministry all of these years, and all of you wonderful people who have stood behind us through the years. I want you to know that you are greatly appreciated and you are greatly loved, and you certainly will be missed.
Been privileged and blessed whenever Sister Mary Moss was no longer able to fill the position of the financial secretary. I had big shoes to fill, and I can say I've got many memories as pastor, boss, and I've learned many things. And actually, one of the things I'm going to miss is my many sermons that I had in the office a lot of times when he would come through. But the decision was made that we were going to change, which this was originally a gym, and the church decided to make it into a sanctuary. So in December the 12th of 2012, we applied for an additional loan. We still owed a balance on the Family Life Center. The balance of the Family Life Center loan was combined in the new loan for renovating the gym into the sanctuary. We borrowed an additional $150,000, which brought our loan amount to $416,716.95. The first payment was made on January the 12th, 2013. We paid the loan off on September the 20th, 2021. It was paid in 8 years and 9 months, which left the church completely debt-free, in which we are very thankful. So we want to ask the Myers to come up, so burn the note, as this was accomplished under their leadership.
God bless you as you're seated. My wife and I could not thank you, every one of you, plus those that have gone on to the glory world, and some that could not be here today. But we are extremely appreciative of everything that has been accomplished in every way in our city. I am so grateful for all of you that have made life possible in great ways for all of us as a family and our church family. So many nice visitors here, and carefully have made your way to be part of this ceremonial and wonderful meeting. I do applaud the church for making so many nice observations when they probably could have found something else to talk about. They chose to choose nice thoughts. I am extremely privileged to have a great family that has walked in the light, loved people, and has carefully planned to make the United States of America a greater place via their areas of living. This particular assembly has blessed the Meyer family in so many years, months, and days. Our thanks will hopefully live in a way of life that some thought or deed perpetuates in your life because of your giving to our family. I pray blessings to each and all of those who have been a part of my life and our life in the years that we have served and been a part of, particularly our local assembly. I am thrilled at the upcoming years that the great Brad Davis family will pastor a great people, and that will multiply in greatness and glory. We will look forward from this moment and other moments and never backward. We will carry with us treasured thoughts, feelings, and excitement. The times that were difficult have all been overcome. We are moving forward as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. The building programs, the upgrades on the property, and I can't tell you how thrilled I am to get that note burned. I never knew exactly when the day would come that we would leave, but one of the things that as a presbyter for the United Pentecostal Church, we had a lot of situations where a pastor left and the new coming pastor had a debt load that he didn't know how exactly to take care of. And so it was a struggle, and so many of us presbyters worked hard to help churches get everything settled. So the building programs and the upgrades and et cetera, our fabulous youth department, what a thrill to see the youth of our church growing in grace and in knowledge and serving the community. Our thrilling Sunday school department under Brother Ronnie Bolton and others through the years has helped develop maturity in spiritual values and the glories or victories of kingdom living. The many ladies' prayer meetings, which you've heard already a little bit about, but we appreciate the weekly and complete dedication of ladies that have prayed for families, a church, a city, and a future for entire United States of America. There are people from this church that have paraded into many other states, and part of the United Pentecostal Church has gone as far as New York and as far as the East and the West and the South. And so for that, we are not just a local assembly. We have posterity and glory in very, very different areas. The revivals and the radio broadcast, I can't tell you, I'm not glad that we are no longer having a radio broadcast, but I did enjoy the thrill and the statements that came. One of our local businessmen told me, he said, "Pastor, I want you to know that I live to hear that broadcast every Sunday." And so that was a thrill, and others have made such nice contributions in their statement. Well, the bus ministry is no longer in place, but we did a lot of good busing. And we had a lot of fun, and we had a lot of breakdowns. And I got a lot of nerves rattled. And I'm glad that we had them, but I'm glad we're over it. I can't describe the happenings and the gatherings that have strengthened each of us. My heart says today to the future, go, grow, go, grow, go, grow. And I could have written it over and several times over, and satisfy the real needs of our city, our county, and our world. You are a part of the contribution that will upgrade the systems that are going on. We need a revival of Holy Ghost and fire. We need a revival of God in us, the hope of glory. We need a revival that will capture the attention of every scholastic system. We need a revival that will inspire every preacher. Hallelujah. Why don't we just go ahead and praise God all together today for the wonderful of His holy name, the wonderfulness of His Spirit, and the future of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. So, like I said, you can be seated. You can go. I could go on. I had to stop with some of that. And I want you to know that I do not intend to preach over 45 minutes. Did I say 45? 4 to 5. Maybe 10. I know all of you have been sinning, and you have been so kind. I do want to say one thing about our men from the Bright Holland Funeral Home. They have helped us in many, many ways, and we share your thrill to be here today. And thank you for making this day special for a pastor that you always kept so kind. All of you are thrilling and have helped us today to make this celebration so special. I could not begin to call names because I could not tell everybody's name. And so I will just tell you, even if you're not a member of this local assembly, we are very appreciative. My wife and I and our family, and I cannot thank my grandchildren and their efforts to help keep the fire of apostolic life and godly living in our assembly via our homes. And so those are things that I want to highlight. How many of you plan to eat today? Well, I don't plan to rob you of all of your time and, et cetera. But I would feel remiss on not saying a few things about the things of God on this heavenly and most wonderful day. One of the things that I think that the church is responsible for is to change America. Not so much the thoughts of America, but so many of the righteous thoughts that produced America have been violated and overlooked. And it is a high time that the church have the priority of helping substantiate and perpetuate and to give to our cities the spiritual virtues that Calvary pursued and opened the door for a grave. I want to go back just for a minute to the Easter message that I preached, and what came out of the tomb was greater than what went in. The fleshy body of God, the Spirit of the Word makes it clear. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's not a plural, himself, meaning that God was in Christ. He became sin who knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness of God via the wonderfulness of the Spirit of God. And so what came out of that tomb is an opportunity for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. For he is the master of life, and he wants you to enjoy the glory of his pain and suffering, and then his restoration and resurrection. And we've got a confidence in that. And so Acts 2:38 is a visual of the whole concept. Repent by faith. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by faith. And receive the Holy Ghost by faith. And then let the Holy Ghost do what Acts 1:8 says. You personally, everybody don't get it because of you, but you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Acts 1:8 says you shall receive power after that the Spirit has come upon you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Spirit of Christ, when it gets in your mind, it gets in your heart, it gets in your head, and it gets in your hands, and it gets in your feet, and it gets in the way you talk to your neighbor, and it gets in the way you talk to those pitiful people that don't know how to do anything but cuss. Many people just get vile when they have something bad go wrong, instead of turning to Jesus Christ, which what happens in the overall picture of ministry and prayer and study of the Word of God. When he says study to show yourself approved, you can't prove it to everybody else unless you have an approved position. And I don't stand on the back of those benches as much as some of you might think. But I have had days when I was high, and then all of a sudden something happened and I wound up low. And so what you do, you begin to take the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you climb back up to where you belong. You are never supposed to be the one down and out. You are supposed to be the one up and far. We are the kingdom kids. We are the kingdom of God's family. We are the servants of God's priesthood. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in a house today where this guy gets excited. I'm telling you, I can be with everybody anywhere, but there's nothing greater than to preach a message from Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the Holy Ghost and fire and of getting out of the grave spirit, and so that we will follow Jesus when we die. We buried with him in baptism. We rise to walk in the newness of life here. But ladies and gentlemen, when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You're not just going to a church building. You're not just going to an orthodox situation. You are a part of the bride of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Bring that thing up here, Brother Jack. Bring that thing up here. Hallelujah. Some of y'all don't even know this man's daddy.
Man, I hadn't heard that horn honk in so long. Y'all be seated so the rest of them can see this show. I didn't even know he was going to bring this today, but Jack Hoskins Sr., huh? Jack Hoskins Sr., every now and then, man, when a church service would get a little hot and heavy and wonderful, do your dad's thing.
It's not really easy.
I know it's not. I'm going to give you a chance, though.
You too.
You got to understand that some of us preachers at times, you know, we slow down a little bit. And we start talking about getting in the resurrection, and we start talking about getting filled with the Spirit, and we start talking about getting this power that is inestimable. And all of a sudden, Brother Jack would be about halfway down. Go ahead and do it one more time. And everybody in front of him, everybody in front of him got a dose of it. And man, they start looking around, and then finally some of them would just get out in the aisle, and they start shouting, "Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! The trump of God's going to sound one day, and we're all going to shout out of here." Oh, my. So I'm going to curtail this pretty quick because I'm getting hungry, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3 tell the whole story of life. In the beginning, God created male and female. Male and female is in the second chapter, and then the devil's in the third chapter. Okay? Man's always been caught up between two choices. God, the creator. Man and Satan. And I want to tell you, wonderful young people, as I'm leaving this city and thanking God for such a wonderful people that has helped us these last 42 years to have so many wonderful moments. Underneath this carpet right now are prayers for mothers, dads, brothers, sisters, and God. He can see through this ceiling. Don't think he can't see through this carpet. His presence is in this room. And I know that several of these prayers have already been answered. And there are others that are almost about to be birthed. Keep praying for your neighbor. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your mother and daddy. We are going to see a wonderful revival. It's in the book. In the last days. In the last days. Perilous times are coming. Tough times are coming. But he said, along with that, there's going to be a revival that will shake the heavens and the earth. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Pray. Pray. Every day pray. Serve God. Don't serve flesh, serve God. You're caught up between the two. And you have the greatest opportunity to look to the right and see a cross where there's no body, but there is a remnant of that body. And so he says, take up your cross. That way you'll always remember that the blood was shed for every sin. And the gift of God in flesh was crucified on the cross. And then they thought they could get rid of him with a grave. But not so. He's in this house today. Why don't you just think about God, and as you praise God, as they sing,
I'm an overcomer.
We come a climax of this meeting, and thank you for being here. You have been such an inspiration in them.
My testimony, overcomer.
And if there's anybody that wants to be baptized,
I'm
I'm trust you.